You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we have an interview with Ione. She is Pauline Oliveras' longtime partner and an artist in her own right, who we'll hear all about this morning. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC Local News. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that Republican Lee Zeldin on February 23rd announced the selection of New York City Police Department Deputy Inspector Allison Esposito as his preferred candidate for lieutenant governor. The state Republican convention will take place next week. Zeldin made the announcement in Manhattan outside of One Police Plaza, saying Esposito's decision to run for lieutenant governor is, quote, bad news for the criminals who think these streets belong to them, unquote. Zeldin's choice comes as public safety issues are a priority for anyone seeking statewide office this year. Siena College poll this week found 91% of voters polled believe crime and public safety are serious or very serious concerns. Democrat Tom Suozzi, who is challenging Governor Kathy Hochul in a Democratic primary for governor, has also called for changes to the state's bail reform legislation, as has Mayor Eric Adams in New York City. Esposito's bid for lieutenant governor makes her the latest candidate for the job. Suozzi last week selected former New York City council member Diana Reyna as his preferred running mate. Quote, I will fight for the future of our state, the future of my niece and nephews, and the future of all New Yorkers' children, unquote, Esposito said. In New York, candidates for governor and lieutenant governor run separately in a party primary, and the winners are later joined on a ticket in the general election. Mismatches can occur. GOP field for governor in recent days has grown in the, just before the Republican convention. Zeldin faces former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, former Trump administration official Andrew Giuliani, and businessperson Harry Wilson for the Republican nomination. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that as of March 1st, all five of New York State Bridge Authority bridges will be cashless. Beginning at midnight on March 1st, the Mid-Hudson Bridge over the Hudson River connecting Highland to Poughkeepsie will transition to cashless toll system. The system is already in use on the Bear Mountain, Newburgh, Beacon, Kingston-Rhinecliff, and the Rip Van Winkle bridges. Motorists will no longer have to stop at a toll booth, but will instead drive nonstop under gantries with sensors and cameras that read EasyPass tags and take license plate images. Vehicles with EasyPass tags are automatically charged to their accounts, and vehicles without those tags have their license plate images captured, and a toll bill is mailed to the registered owner of the vehicle. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com. Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the planned relocation of the Catskill Academy Quaestar 3 program to Durham will allow the Catskill Central School District to open up a half dozen classrooms for district programs. The Academy's current home is a wing of Catskill High School that was built 11 years ago. That space will be available for district use for the first time in the fall. With the recent donation of the Durham Elementary School to Quaestar by the Kara Durham School District, the Academy program will have a new home. The Academy is a program for students with special needs and is open to students enrolled for any school district located in Greene and Columbia counties, said Quaestar 3 District Superintendent Gladys I. Cruz. The superintendent said that moving the program should be beneficial to both Quaestar and the Catskill District. On February 10th, Catskill launched an online community survey for feedback from district residents on how to best utilize the free space the district now has available. The survey asked respondents if they would support using the space to develop an alternative or credit recovery program for struggling students, and if they would support using the newly opened space to develop a more supportive program for students who could excel in a smaller learning environment. The survey finishes up by inviting residents to submit their ideas for use of the space. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
The WGXC Radio Awards are this Saturday on the radio, and this year, not just programmers can vote, but anyone who is a sustaining supporter of WGXC should have gotten an email with a link to a place to cast your ballot. So look in your email box if you're a WGXC sustaining supporter or a WGXC programmer, and make votes today for the WGXC Radio Awards, which will be announced Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. on February 26th on 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, February 24th. Early this morning, there is a big change from yesterday. 10 degrees in East Jefferson and 24 degrees in Kingston. Today will be the freezing cold calm before the storm. Winds will be light and temperatures will reach 32 by 3 p.m. Watch for a brief thaw and refreeze of road ice before dark. Overnight, things get fun. Snow starts at midnight. A low of 22 happens at 4 a.m. Friday morning, at dawn, about 6 inches of snow will be on the ground. Then it gets tricky. Another couple inches is expected by dark. However, in the morning, snow could switch to sleet and back again by 1 p.m. A high of 33 is expected at 2 p.m. Snow finishes shortly after dark, and temperatures fall to 12 degrees by dawn. Then we get a dry Saturday with a high of 32 degrees. 17 degrees overnight takes us into a slightly warmer Sunday with a high of 40 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:24 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:35 a.m. Looking way up, we see not much has changed in our planetary neighborhood. Still expecting a bump in geomagnetic activity early next week. Solar wind speed is currently 471 kilometers per second at 1.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 38. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dolores Prescott of Jamaica, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Listen to what the flower people say. Ah, listen, it's getting louder every day. Thank you.
Horace Silver there with the Jody Grind on WGXC.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The attack on the Ukraine by the Russians is an attack on democracy.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says congressional Democrats are behind President Joe Biden's plans to counter Russian actions in Ukraine. The support comes after President Biden, alongside NATO allies, imposed new sanctions on Russia Wednesday. The New York Times reports Russian troops have begun moving across the border into Ukraine, which began after Russian President Vladimir Putin recognized regions of eastern Ukraine as independent states.
This is the same tyrant who attacked our democracy in 2016. This is the same tyrant who is opposed to democracy and wants to trivialize it, to downgrade it in the eyes of the Russian people.
The Supreme Court considered oral arguments Wednesday in a case that could overturn Trump-era immigration policies. According to The Hill, the case surrounds the public charge rule enacted by Trump and since rescinded by President Biden, wherein poorer immigrants were given heavier restrictions. A coalition of states, led by Arizona, wants to keep the policy in place. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich pointed out the Biden administration bypassed the standard public comment process when repealing the measure, a move he argued was a violation of the Administrative Procedure Act.
Making clear the states can intervene in these circumstances is the only way to ensure future administrations follow the APA.
Politico reports the Pentagon has approved deploying roughly 700 National Guard troops to Washington, D.C., in preparation for a planned trucker convoy protest against COVID-19 restrictions. The protests are modeled after similar actions in Canada, which disrupted that country's capital for about 3 weeks. The National Guard troops will direct traffic during the protests and will not be carrying firearms or participating in other law enforcement activities. Two Michigan lawmakers earlier this week were called to testify before the panel tasked with investigating the January 6th insurrection. The Republicans were just two of 16 Michigan legislators who signed a letter falsely claiming that Donald Trump won the state's electoral votes. Sam Inglot with Progress Michigan says the move undermined the state's electoral process.
January 6th and these hearings are not just about one event. They're not even about a single election day. We've really seen kind of multiple years of misinformation from the right about our elections and attempt to sabotage our elections.
In related news, multiple news outlets report Ivanka Trump, daughter of the former president, is in discussions with the January 6th panel to provide testimony. And the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation into Trump's business dealings has been left in limbo, as several senior members of the probe have resigned. The New York Times reports the resignations came after Alvin Bragg, the city's new district attorney, indicated he is considering pulling back on the investigation. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Jonah Chester. Lily Bulkey contributed reporting. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
From 2022, that's number 5 from Koji Nakamura, Food Man, and Takahashi Numazawa.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about any of these stories. Mid-Hudson News reports that Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan gave his State of the County address February 23rd, saying the county is in a strong position to grow and prosper in the years to come.
It's clear we are at a crossroads. I've heard from so many of you, parents and teachers, nurses and doctors, seniors and young people, that you've reached your limit. We're all tired and frustrated and just ready to move on. Believe me, I understand and I agree, because 2 years in, we now have highly effective tools, from vaccines and boosters to widely available testing, that empower us to shift our approach. COVID may still be a part of our lives, but we cannot let it dominate our lives. Now is the moment for us to move past the pandemic together and to focus our energy constructively, to lift our gaze and look ahead to what I believe is a very bright and optimistic future for our county.
Ryan also said the county would make, quote, bold generational investments, unquote, in housing, mental health, and addiction recovery services. Read more about the story at Mid-Hudson News. Masara Makati reports in the Times Union that 2021 was the safest ever hunting season for New Yorkers, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation. The DEC reported February 22nd that the 2021 hunting season included 9 hunting-related shooting incidents and 1 human fatality. That's the lowest number of shooting incidents since record keeping began in 1949. All 9 shooting incidents involved experienced hunters with an average of 40 years of experience. One was a 69-year-old Greene County man with 50 years hunting experience who on December 10th was injured after his gun was leaning against an ATV and started to fall. He reached for it and was shot in the foot. The DEC said the shooting incidents could have been avoided if the hunters followed safety protocol. The single human fatality involved a hunter who was not wearing any fluorescent orange or pink and was killed by a hunting partner. This year, the DEC mandated hunters wear more fluorescent orange or pink to avoid such incidents. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that 22.2% of wage and salary earners in New York are enrolled in a union, the second highest rate in the country. The U.S. Department of Labor reported union membership in New York grew from 22% in 2020 to 22.2% last year. The national average is 10.3% of wage and salary workers enrolled with a labor organization. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter storm watch from 10 p.m. February 24th through 10 p.m. February 25th for areas south of Albany and Rensselaer counties. 6 to 12 inches of snow are expected. Quote, snowfall rates could exceed an inch per hour at times from 1 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, unquote, according to the National Weather Service. Quote, travel could be very difficult. The hazardous conditions could impact the morning or evening commute, unquote. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. Thursday, February 24th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. Cheryl Kay speaks with Deanna Witkowski, a pianist, composer, and author, on the Situation Fluxus Jazz Show. Then at 11 a.m., it's time for transformational listening today from Cahil El-Zabar. On Ear Candy at noon, Brad Monkel from Greenville speaks with Michael Benedict about his new album, 1-2-3 Go. And then at 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the episode Over There about the Ukraine invasion by Russia. 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news for Storming the Gates at Mar-a-Lago. And then at 3:30, it's time for the Radia Show with a radio artwork from Clara Rousey today. At 7 p.m. on the Poet Radio Show, Chris Funkhauser looks at work from Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, Margaret Walker, and Amiri Baraka. And then we go higher and higher with an audio buffet at 8 p.m. and live to Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and Disco 3000 at 9, and then live to Columbia County with the Magic Stranger Show at 10 p.m. on the radio at 90.7 FM. The Hudson schools are hosting community budget workshops on March 1st, March 15th, and April 5th ahead of the school vote on the budget. You can turn out to learn more about the proposed budget for the Hudson schools this year on either March 1st, March 15th, or April 5th, and find out more about these events in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We are here with author, playwright, director, and improvising text sound artist, Ione. Welcome.
Hi there. Good to be here.
Ione will be leading us in a healing meditation during the Sanctuary for Independent Media's March 3rd event. And today we're here to learn more about them and their work and their art. So Ione, can you share a bit about who you are as a human, an artist, and a healer?
Well, I think a human sounds really interesting. I think that I share with the concept of sentient being with many other elements in the world. So I'll include all of that, rocks and plants and so forth, and certainly animals. Yes, I'm spiritual teacher at this juncture because I've been working in those areas and playing in those areas for many, many moons now. I would say a coach, spiritual coach and counselor, therapist. I have been working privately with people and with large groups through the years. I have a ministry, so I'm also the director and founder of that ministry. And what else am I? And I'm also a writer, so I'm coaching writers, artists of all kind. I'm actually very, very interested in the creative. And in fact, the ministry itself is based on that precept, a precept that the divine really is very, very close to us. When we are creative, when we are in our creative modes, when we're not, we find that something is amiss. We feel it. Everyone feels it. So therefore, I tend to stress that, emphasize that, I should say, in practically everything that I do. I'm also a dream specialist, so I'm very, very interested in playing with dreams and getting everybody all riled up about their dreams.
I love that. I'm always so interested in dreams and what they might mean and what we might be hiding underneath it all that comes out in our dreams. I've read that you call yourself an improvising text sound artist. Can you talk about that? What is that?
Yeah, what is that? Well, I was thinking about that today and how to talk to you about that. As a writer, I have often read my words in the old days. I still do sometimes, and on readings and so forth. Eventually, with my creative partner and my spouse, Pauline Oliveras, I began to perform with others, and particularly with Pauline, and discovering the sound element, rediscovering it. With her and allowing what needed to come through in the moment to come through. So there were words, or there are words when I do it today, although I'm not doing it as much because Pauline has passed on to another level and we will improvise in other ways. But I discovered that listening in the moment allows the ability for spirit to come through. We could call it spirit, we could call it sounds, first of all. Not some, and then there's content to the words, of course. So there's the text becomes important, but it's not something that I think about ahead of time what it's going to be. So I'm listening to the music, I'm being in the moment, I'm open to what words come and what sounds come. That's an improvising text sound artist.
Wow.
Yeah, it's different from, say, from storytelling, although it has things in common with that, or a person who gives stories through their words. But this is very different because I don't know what it's going to be ahead of time.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I'd love if you could talk a little bit about your experience with the intersection of art and healing. How have those things intersected for you, and how do you use that knowledge to create art and to interact with the people that you heal?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier, I discovered that to use the term divine, I like to use the term divine because it's really, really an extraordinary communion that we have with whatever we want to call this miracle of our being alive in these moments. So this is giving us an insight into being, the whole concept of being. So it's quite profound, actually. So when we find that we're not creating art of any kind, there's a great loss. And I think that loss is one that we have nationwide often, because many people have been taught that you can't be an artist, or an artist is no good, or whatever. Certainly they're not, so many of us are not growing up with the concept that one can be creative. Therefore, at a certain point in life, one begins to get very, very disturbed and upset and looking for something to hold on to, which brings people to extreme religions, things of that nature.
And that leads nicely into having a little bit of time to talk about the event on March 3rd. It's a time to celebrate the new moon. It's a new beginning. And you're going to lead us through a virtual healing meditation. So what are your hopes for the collective healing celebration on March 3rd?
Well, being in that moment that's coming up is very important to me. And I'll be drawing on the entire universe, says, you mentioned Aries, you mentioned the astrological elements, and I'll be drawing on all of that, the stars, the systems, whatever is out there, and I'll be open to that, although I'll know the general direction that I'm going in. There will be an inclusivity of what happens, pulling it all together and feeling us as a community, a very, very large and beautiful, diverse community, is my goal.
I love that. I'm excited for this event. I'm excited to see who attends and to experience what you all are going to bring to the table as a collective. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation?
Well, I have a lot of gratitude for the fact that this is happening, and that I've been invited to be a part of it. You know, I feel a warmth and also a kind of imperative at this time in our culture, shall we say, for this kind of communion and community. And opening up to the spiritual element, and allowing spirit to expand throughout the world.
One of the words that I've been thinking a lot about as I've been getting ready for this event, and learning about the artists that are participating is ritual. Is there any anything that you want to say specifically about the word ritual, what it means to you, what it means to your art or your healing process?
Well, ritual is an imperative. It's part of who we are. It comes out of our very bones, out of our very nature. So it's when we give it a title as ritual, it begins to resonate differently. But it really is something that is something that we have such a kinship with, and it gives us a connection to everything that is around us. Everything around us has a living element to it. And so I'm sitting here in the center of, a living room, a sitting room. And yet everything I do in this room, if I do it with attention, is ritual in the best sense of that term. So bringing attention and awareness to our dreams, to the dream of this world, this life, this moment, beautiful rituals.
Thank you so much, Ione. We're so pleased to have you on the show today and to talk with you about what you do and your art and your healing process. And we look forward to having you join us on March 3rd for our event.
Looking forward to, listening forward to.
Thank you.
Bye.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the year 2022, that was Flight to Sodom from Matmos on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, your home for new and interesting sounds. Here's Other Dimensions in Music, which is Daniel Carter, Roy Campbell Jr., William Parker on bass, Rashid Baker on drums. The song is called See Who Shant for Sly Stone. It's from a 2018 release from Other Dimensions in Music.